This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Last month, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported that the rates of the three most common sexually transmitted diseases, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis, reached an all-time high. And here to talk about the rise in STDs and how to reverse the trend are epidemiology manager for the Northern Kentucky Health Department, Joyce Rice, and advanced practice registered nurse and certified nurse midwife, Stacy Satchwell. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Stacy and Joyce, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Joyce, one thing that struck me, the CDC says that the progress in the fight against STDs has unraveled, and I'm very shocked to hear that. Is it really that serious?
We nationally, the number of cases have gone up. Locally, we've actually seen an overall decrease. Our chlamydia cases have gone up about 11%, but our gonorrhea cases dropped 11%.
But across the nation, the number has gone up. And is there a particular part of the country where this is where it's hitting harder than other parts?
They are. They're seeing it primarily in the southern states.
Okay. So why is the number of cases growing, Stacy? Do we have a handle on what's causing this?
Well, I think the bottom line is exposure. Of course, these diseases and infections are transmitted sexually. So you have to have the exposure. I don't think that we have information on each particular disease and what has caused the increase of the individual ones. But we do know that testing and treatment is the best answer we have.
Mm-hmm. Have we become more complacent? Is that part of the problem, Joyce? Because when you mention those three sexually transmitted diseases, I thought we'd dealt with those a long time ago, that they weren't the big deal that they used to be.
No, I think primarily the problem is that most people don't have symptoms with these, so they don't know they're infected, so they don't know that they're transmitting it. Even with the syphilis, the sores that they get are painless, so they may not even know they have a sore.
And they usually go away within a matter of just a few weeks,
correct,
right? So what are the dangers of undiagnosed sexually transmitted diseases? What kind of problems can that cause?
Well, chlamydia, for example, undiagnosed, and it does go oftentimes without symptoms, particularly in men. And then, of course, that just leads for potential for transmission. But with women, undiagnosed chlamydia can cause problems with fertility in the future. Gonorrhea and syphilis each have problems of their own, the number one being that they can be transmitted to other people. Chlamydia can cause problems for women who are pregnant, and syphilis can as well, very serious problems to the unborn child.
Hmm. What kind of problems are we talking about for pregnant women?
Well, first of all, pregnant women are screened if they have prenatal care early in the pregnancy for chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. If a woman were to have syphilis and not be diagnosed early in pregnancy, that increases the risk of congenital syphilis to the baby. There's also an increased risk of preterm delivery, stillbirth of that child, and other complications of pregnancy. So it's a very serious potential danger to an unborn baby. The problem is there are several women, quite a few women, who don't get prenatal care and don't get the testing. So then if we don't know, we cannot treat that person appropriately.
Mm-hmm. So the cases go undiagnosed, which is a dangerous thing.
Exactly.
513-419-7100 if you would like to join our conversation. Joyce, do we know how much of the increase that we're seeing across the nation is just better reporting of cases, or how much of this is actually new infections?
Well, that's always a consideration. More reporting. Testing has changed, so they can do diagnosis now with the urine specimen, so you can diagnose more men than we have in the past.
Mm-hmm. What's the testing like? Is it pretty quick and pretty efficient?
It is. It is, actually.
So for chlamydia and gonorrhea testing, for men it's a little easier. We can actually test with a urine sample, so non-invasive at all. For females, we can test with a urine sample, but there are other things that we are looking for, so we prefer to have a cervical culture. For syphilis, the best modality that we have is lab work. So it's actually blood draw for both men and women to screen for syphilis.
So that's a little bit more involved. You have to wait a little bit longer to get the results back on that.
The results do take just a little bit longer, but the good news is with syphilis, if a person comes back positive, right now syphilis is one of the easier treated diseases. It's very effectively treated with penicillin, which is a common antibiotic, if we just know.
Yeah, I was going to say, all three of these are treatable with antibiotics, which is another reason I was rather surprised to hear that there's been this uptick in the three STDs.
Absolutely, but if the person doesn't know they have it,
then they're not going to get treated.
Then they're not going to get treatment, and they may share that with their contacts.
Are there concerns that the STDs are becoming resistant to antibiotics, Joyce?
There is some resistance in gonorrhea.
In years past, gonorrhea has been treated with different antibiotics, and over the years, the organism has developed resistance to various antibiotics. The most current recommendation that we have is dual treatment with ceftriaxone, which is an injection, and also with the azithromycin, which we give orally. And the combination of those two medications is highly effective at treating gonorrhea. And the CDC keeps a watch doing the research to see how the organism is developing to try to anticipate if it's going to need another treatment regimen in the future.
Is it to a point where anyone is calling for maybe testing this on a regular basis during physical exams? Have we gotten that far yet?
I don't know if they're calling for it on a regular basis. It's definitely a recommendation that if you have any of the risk factors, that you be tested.
Okay. Risk factors would be?
Multiple sexual partners, if you have unprotected sex, when you're ending a relationship and starting a new relationship, you really should be tested so that if your partner did give it to you, you don't pass it along to your new partner.
513-419-7100 to join us. You can also email talk@wvxu.org. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Tyler in Springdale joins us now. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, I appreciate all the public health work that has been done over the decades and centuries. It's the greatest contribution to medicine, in my opinion, saving lives. But I wonder whether your guests can comment at all on the new administration with Donald Trump as president, whether there's any concerns of the cutbacks to this preventative approach to health, the prevention and treatment of STDs.
Okay, Tyler. To his point, though, how big a concern is funding?
Funding is always a concern because the federal and state do supply funding for treatment and testing.
Mm-hmm. The director for the CDC recently did an interview, and one of his theories was that STDs could be on the increase because of some of the changes that we have seen in funding. I think that's very difficult to pinpoint in the past or in the future. But we do know that the only way that we can treat people is if they have screening. And the more accessible screening is to patients, the better we can identify and treat those people. And obviously, if they don't have a place to go to be screened and treated, then there's a potential of a bigger problem.
Now, what groups are most affected by this recent rise in STDs? Where are we seeing this most?
The age range that are most affected statistically are 18 years old to 24 years old. Those are considered the highest risk categories, particularly for chlamydia and gonorrhea. So when you were talking about testing earlier, as part of public health, we test all females age 15 to 24 pretty much with every yearly visit, and then other visits as needed. The problem is chlamydia and gonorrhea, of course, are not subject just to this age range. Anybody of any age could have these infections.
Mm-hmm. Wondering about the level of education on STDs that goes on now in schools as part of health or sex education. How much are kids being taught about this, and how vital is it to reach kids with the lessons about these diseases before they hit their teenage years?
I think it's a great question. I honestly don't have the answer. I know that I believe it is very, very important, but I don't know that there's a lot of education at this point, say in high schools and middle schools. But I honestly don't have that information.
So any numbers on sexually transmitted diseases among older adults? You were talking about how this is primarily affecting younger people. What about the older age categories?
We actually locally see primarily in the younger ages. We see very few cases in older adults.
So what are health officials doing to deal with this? What are some of the things that you're doing to address this?
Education, of course, is the biggest one. I think that in our individual health centers, we are trying to make STD screening very easy for patients, very easy, very confidential. And when we have people with us, whether they've come in for family planning or another reason, and certainly if they've come in for STD screening, we do a lot of education. I think education is the key.
So education is a big one. Joyce, what do you think?
Education, definitely testing. Definitely want to get those people in the higher risk factors to come in and be tested.
Yeah. Is testing accessible enough at this point, do you think?
We test at all four of our health centers. And most physicians will test if the patient will ask for it.
Mm-hmm. So when would you advise somebody to seek testing?
Again, anytime if they have any symptoms at all. But if they don't have symptoms, if they have multiple sexual partners, if you know, they're, like I said, if they're ending a relationship, beginning a new relationship, they definitely need to be tested. Anytime that their partner tells them that they're positive, they need to be tested.
So going back to those risk factors that you mentioned, if you have any of the risk factors, you should get tested, correct?
Exactly. And the other thing to mention is people who are caught up in addiction or other lifestyles that might lead them to make poor decisions, they have an increased exposure. So if someone, for example, is battling addiction, that's another red flag that they would need to look at their health history a little bit more closely.
Are the tests covered by insurance, by the way?
They are largely covered by most insurance companies. We see people with no coverage at all. As well as people who have private coverage and Medicaid as well. If a person has no coverage, the cost is on a sliding scale, so it's very affordable for that person. So it may cost a little bit, it may cost not much, but we definitely don't want the cost to be a barrier to people.
What's a typical cost?
I believe the typical cost is $70 to $75, but then that is on a sliding scale. So if you're a person who has a lower income, that may slide down.
And again, like you're saying, Stacey, you shouldn't let money be an object in this because it's a serious issue.
We really do not want that to be a barrier to anyone.
At the health department, we don't turn anybody away for inability to pay. So if you come in, you be tested, you don't have the money to pay for it, we're still going to do the testing for you.
So the long-term implications, again, we were talking about the problems of this is undiagnosed, if you leave it go. How serious a health threat is this to you long-term?
Syphilis can be a very serious health threat long-term. It's a very complicated disease. It's one that a lot of people, as I talk to patients on a daily basis, they don't, like you said, they're not even aware syphilis is still in existence. Mm-hmm. They think it's something from decades
ago. 1950s or 60s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And one thing that we do with syphilis is we do partner notification. So we talk to the patient and then we can contact their partners anonymously for them and tell them that they've been named in an investigation that they should be tested. And we get them in to be tested and treated.
So leaving this go long-term is not is a really, really bad idea.
Yes.
Yeah. It is, but there are people who have been exposed to syphilis 20 or 30 years ago that did not know it and can have problems with neurosyphilis. It can affect the brain, ocular syphilis. It can affect the eyes, cause all kinds of problems throughout the body, actually chronic problems at that point. So early in the disease process, it's very treatable. But if it is undiagnosed and goes on for a long time, there are a percentage, not everyone, but there are a percentage of people who will have long-term chronic effects from syphilis.
Are antibiotics the only ways to treat sexually transmitted diseases right now?
Yes.
Yeah. So is it, what is it, typically penicillin or certain types of antibiotics that these respond to differently?
Yes. In syphilis, the category is penicillin. We typically use bicillin. And depending on the stage of the disease, the patient receives one dose or three, and that's very individualized. For chlamydia, the treatment is azithromycin. We give that orally. And then, like we said before, gonorrhea is treated with ceftriaxone, which is an injection, and azithromycin, which is given orally. They're all antibiotics.
So the treatments are pretty easy. I mean, how effective are they? Do these work really, really well?
At this point, they do. They're very effective. And the other thing that I think makes it easier for our clients in public health, if a patient comes to us and they're having symptoms, if their symptoms or their diagnosis warrants, we can treat them right there in the health department. We can give them the medication that they need right there. Either we can give it to them the day we see them, or when we call them and have their positive results, they come right in and get their medicine.
So I guess the key thing is get people to take action if they think they have this, not to just wait.
Absolutely.
And let it go away.
Absolutely.
Correct. Yeah. Tell me about the local resources that are available for people, where they can go and where they can get questions answered about this.
We do testing and treatment in all four of our health mm-hmm. centers. There are also, though, the federally qualified health centers will do treatment and testing. Now, there is a cost on that. Any of the physicians can provide information. We do have a disease investigator who will contact the patients when they're positive. He does a very good job of explaining the disease to them and the transmission and how to prevent that and getting in touch with their partners and educating them too.
And if you're on the Ohio side, I guess any of your public health departments would be able to help you with this.
Absolutely. The public health departments are the frontline caregivers for sexually transmitted disease and prevention. So they are the best sources for education, screening, and treatment.
So, Stacy, do you think we can get a handle on this? I mean, it seems pretty serious. This is the second year in a row we've seen an increase in sexually transmitted diseases. Do you think we're going to see this nipped?
I certainly hope so. I think that we can get a handle on it, but it is a big problem, and it affects many, many people. And just like a lot of other health problems, if people don't acknowledge it and take care of it, it's going to go on undiagnosed. So hopefully... Education at this point, I believe education is the key.
Matter of getting
and
the word
awareness.
Out.
Yes. Yeah. So thank you so much for having this topic.
Well, thank both of you for being on today. We really appreciate it. Stacy and Joyce. Epidemiology Manager for the Northern Kentucky Health Department, Joyce Rice, and Advanced Practice Registered Nurse and Certified Nurse Midwife, Stacy Satchwell. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier with help from Jim Nolan. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Dave Shermer was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney.